The message today I'm calling Giving is the Key to Blessing. We just had a little sermonette for Christianettes on giving, and I was glad for that because I thought it sort of just gave an example of the need and God's way and how giving is what the church is all about. You know, there's some lessons that we learn in life that transform our lives forever. Isn't that right? I call these life lessons. Life lessons are the ones that change your life and enable you to live with power and in the abundance that Jesus promised. I mean, life lessons do it to you and do it for you and put you in a place where you can be what God has called you to be. If we don't learn these lessons, if we don't learn them when they come our way, we'll be like the Israelites who took 40 years to travel a journey that should have taken them 11 days. It does sometimes take some people a while to catch on. If we learn these lessons, they will empower us to fully live the abundant life. That's why it's so important to really get, learn, understand, and embrace life lessons. The Lord favored me by allowing me to learn this life lesson I'm going to teach you today in the very beginning of our ministry. It changed my life. It defines my life. It's what I live for. It's what I'm about. Giving is what God has called me to. I have given my life. I gave it first to Him. And just as the disciples, with the breaking of the bread and the multiplying of that, the Lord blessed that bread so the disciples could then give it out. We give our lives to Him. He blesses that and He breaks us and feeds us. He allows us to be the very life that people need. I'm talking about to help them in time of need and to help pray them through and to help lift them up and walk with them and get them healed. And so it becomes life. You know, we don't believe that going to church is there, we did that again and maybe we'll get better. We believe it's our very life. As a part of the call, He brought us to a place where He gave us a marvelous option. We could choose His way and continue multiplying and increasing all our lives. The other choice would be what people fight day in and day out, up and down like a yo-yo and maybe completely fail. But the option that the Lord gave us would cause us to continue to multiply and increase all our lives. To say yes to Him opened up ongoing revelation as to how we can walk in the promise that we made to Him. The fact that we took that step opened up revelation as to how we could continue to walk in the promise. It was not possible to even step into this opportunity unless we said yes to the way into it. In other words, the opportunity God gave us, we had to say yes to His challenge to us, but it's going to cost you something. In Matthew 19, 20 verse 24, we talked this about the rich young ruler. The young man said unto him, "All these things have I kept from my youth up." The rich young ruler had just said, "I want to know how I can really please you, but I've done the things you said to do all my life already." That's basically what he said. Well, there's people in churches everywhere that have done the things all their lives, but they haven't pleased God yet. And Jesus said, verse 21, "If thou wilt be perfect," do not be afraid of the word perfect. It doesn't mean perfect. Now, is everybody relieved? It means mature and continuing to mature. It means a person who steps into a realm of not being a baby Christian anymore, not coming and going and failing, but a person who goes on no matter what the problem, no matter what the situation. We would call that a mature Christian. Mature. He said, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and then come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Now, there's no reason to go away sad just because you're rich, is there? You can be rich and go away happy. Yeah. Then said Jesus to his disciples, "Verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter in the kingdom of heaven." He said, you see, this is the problem right here. "And again I say to you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter in the kingdom of God." Now he's basically saying here, people will let their possessions, their belongings, the financial things of this world keep them from my will and even from heaven. The understanding of words, "if thou wilt be perfect," is if you would be completely pleasing to God or completely spiritually mature. Is there anybody here that would like to be spiritually mature? This is good. A fair number do, and we'll just keep dealing with the rest of you. But once you decide you want to be mature, you'll start changing. I mean, you'll start laying hold on the truth and getting the grace to walk in it. Not only did he promise that he would completely please God on earth if he would do what he was asking, but his treasure would be great in heaven. I know it's not easy for some people to believe it, but there are great rewards in heaven, and one of these days you'll wish that you listened to the teaching of Jesus so you could have that great reward in heaven. I believe one of them is that you're going to be closer to him than other people. That's all I'd be needing right there. As it turned out, the young man was very attached to the things that he had, and as a result, he went away sorrowful. You know, it sends you away sad when you choose other things instead of Jesus. The question is, think about it, how different would the story be if the young man had said yes? He could have said yes. The story's there because he had the choice. Now, in our case, he was saying to us, and I want to say this to you today, that he only said this to this one young man. This story is written this way. We have this account. It's because this particular man, that's what God wanted him to do. That's what he was challenging him to do. I think he would have used him greatly so that he would have looked back and said, "I can't believe that I was reluctant to do that." I do not believe that God's looking for everybody to sell what they have and give to the poor. But if he chooses to do something like that from time to time, then happy is that people who says yes. In our case, he was saying to us, and those of you who've been coming on Wednesday night, you've gotten some of our story, and I appreciate Mike and Fran was the last ones we heard from. Everybody's done such a good job of telling us their part of the story. And so you've heard about how God really asks some large things of us. But it was like he was saying to us, "This is something I want to do on earth." I believe God clearly said that to me. "This is something I want to do. And I'm asking you, will you lead a people and will you do it?" Some people never even hear God say anything. And when you can hear him say something, if you'll do it, you can keep on hearing him say more things. It's the same type of challenge that he gave Heidi and Roland Baker. You know, from time to time, he'll ask people to raise up a ministry that is completely by faith. And I want to give you two reasons he does that. One is to show forth his willingness to do the miracles he's promised to a world who has forgotten that miracles are his ways of doing things. The world has forgotten that God does miracles, not just occasionally, but as a way of getting things done. He's done a lot of miracles in this house. And the second reason is to position people, the people who do this ministry, in a place of revelation about giving that is deep enough he can entrust them with a work for his glory. Shall I say that again? He does it to position the people that he calls and that receive that call to do that ministry. He puts them into a place of revelation about giving that's deep enough that he can entrust them with a work for his glory. Because you can't trust selfish people. You can't trust stingy people. You can't trust people that won't give of themselves. So he did that to begin to hollow out a place where he could dig deeper in us and say that you're going to find out. The scripture says it's more blessed to give than to receive. The scripture also says give, Luke 8:38, I believe it is, give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, shall men give into your bosom. Give and it shall be given to you. Some people are in lack because they don't give. Did I know any of these things that I just now shared with you? In the beginning, when we agreed to take this step of faith, no, I didn't know any of this. I was scared just like everybody else. No, I just knew that I'd heard the invitation. But it was a very persuasive invitation. You know, some years ago, Jack Hayford wrote a book called Giving is the Key to Everything. Some people, I heard someone comment on this, you might have thought he would have said, love is the key to everything. But he said, think about it. For God so loved the world that he gave. And if he hadn't given his only begotten son, you and I wouldn't have anything today. And we wouldn't have the blessings that we have today. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. Our abundant life and our eternal life comes out of God's desire and plan to be a giver. It's who he is. He's a giver. I think I might have told you. My first encounter I had with understanding a little bit about giving or even thinking about it. I was a child, say I might have been maybe 8 years old or something. My dad was up on top of a roof painting. He was a painter. And so I told him, now I got to go to town with so-and-so, and could he give me some money to go? And he put his hand in his pocket, and he pulled out 50 cents. Can you imagine what that looked like to an 8-year-old? I'm talking about, you know, maybe 15 years ago. You know, it's quite a while. And so I remember he just flipped that to me, and I remember he said to me, good catch. And I thought, well, how easy was that? Wonder if I could do that again. It just hit me that way. And then my next thought was, I don't think I'd want to do that for him. I don't think if I had 50 cents, I'd want to give that to him. That's the first little revelation I had of what giving means. Think about how many 50-cent pieces God's pitched to you. And you might be sitting there saying, you know, I didn't do much for you. Isn't it a fact? That's a revelation. Acts 20, verse 35 says, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, leave the King James out of it. See, here's one. For he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive, and it means nothing. Here's what he really said. You're going to get more blessing if you give than if you're just receiving. If you'll be a giver, you'll end up being blessed much more than if you're a taker. No matter how much you can get from people, you would have gotten much more if you had been a giver. This is a message that I teach without equivocation in any way, because I want to say this to you, that it's been a life lesson, and I also can say I have lived this. I absolutely know that it works. Not just in my life, but I've seen it work in a lot of other people sitting right here. I've seen it in their lives. Pastor friends of mine, it is wonderful how true this is. Giving puts you into the place of blessing more than receiving. It's great to receive too, by the way. There's a little pink bag right over there. Some of you can't see it, but I'm going to receive that about lunchtime. And tell you the truth, I would rather receive a nice cooked meal than to give one. It's a little inconvenient for me to try to whip up meals. So it is blessed to receive, but it's a lot more blessed to give. The wonderful lady who did that stands in line to get the blessing, not me. And the Lord's blessing is much more than money and things. Blessing is the favor of the Lord resting on our whole life. And our whole life is blessed and we become a blessed people. Proverbs 10:22 says, "The blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow with it." I remember Victor talking about the man who slept in a gold bed. Or rather, he had a gold bed. But all the doctors in the city couldn't help him sleep. What good is it to be able to afford a gold bed if you can't sleep? What a good point. The blessing the Lord makes rich, and you can sleep. The blessing the Lord makes rich, and you don't have to worry and fret all the time that you didn't make enough money, that you're not going to make enough, that somebody else is going to get ahead of you. Now, how does this work? God actually has a plan to put you into this place of blessing. That's what's so wonderful. If we say that we want God to use us to minister to others, for example, we have to understand that in order to minister, we have to become giving people. Have you thought about it? This morning, when people came forward, Eddie was ministering, the team was ministering. The people came forward that wanted ministry, and a lot of people came forward to minister. Now, the only way they could have done that, and the only way those people could have been ministered to, is that people gave of themselves to bring that ministry to pass. And God has made it this way. He wants people to minister to people. And He has given us gifts so that we can. And He's brought us together. So it happened. That's why the scripture says, fail not to assemble yourselves together. Don't let people tell you they're just as well off at home. They are not. And even if the pastor isn't the greatest one in the world or the greatest preacher and the choir sings what they didn't want him to sing, at least they can be in the fellowship of the saints and touch somebody else's faith and get a chance to hear some prayer and get something out of the Word of God. Don't ever buy into that. People need to be in church and you need to be in church regularly. It's the way God has for us to grow and it's the way for us to continue to glorify God. Now, how's this thing going to work? Now, I believe, as we know that we're having a new day and the best is yet to come, is what you were thinking of earlier. And the best is yet to come. Say it again. So if it's taken us this long to get to the place where the Lord is now ready to give us the rest of it. That's what that means. And the best is yet to come. And I'm very thankful for what I feel in the atmosphere. But in order for Him to bring this harvest in, then we need to be people who commit ourselves to minister. We need to minister to the people who come in. I loved it when we prayed for people with the oil past couple of Sundays because all of you were just ministering and praying, and those of you who had oil were sharing that with other people. I think it's God's way of breaking us in to being free to really get Give what we have. See, giving is the key to everything. It's there, but somebody's got to give it and somebody has to receive it. So to minister to people, we have to give our time and our emotional strength and our involvement in prayer and in the Word. We can't just be a law unto ourselves or a people unto ourselves. And no man is an island. We've got to understand that we are here for a purpose. I really thought it, as we had the opportunity to both honor and celebrate Al Friday evening. I hope that when people go to memorial services, they let the Holy Spirit arrest them and ask, what will they say at your memorial service? Will there be things that can really be appreciated? Did your life really count for something? What are we here for if not to give what we have to others? You know, we yield our old idea of world culture economy and embrace kingdom economy if we get into God's way of doing things. And God values things. He has a different value system from what we have. We've gotten where we just value the craziest thing, you know, who has the fanciest car and the biggest house and who's the greatest football player and all of these things. You know, and just be honest with you, God wants you to have the things that you like to have and that you'd enjoy. That is, they're not going to kill you. He didn't want you to have everything you want, I promise. And that's why he doesn't answer some of those prayers. But he wants you to have these things that are good for you, but that's not what the kingdom is about. The kingdom is about what matters to God. His appreciation scale is set up different from ours. I want to show you an example. The woman with the alabaster box. In Luke chapter 7, she came in and crashed the party where the Pharisees were having dinner, and Jesus was there, and she poured out an alabaster box full of ointment on Jesus' feet. It was the equivalent of a year's wages, what was in that box. Can you imagine? And the disciples immediately said, now why did you waste this? What a thought. Why did you waste this? You poured out something valuable on God. Well, that's the way the world thinks. Now, since when, I mean, the poor is an important part of our ministry, but God is the most important part of our ministry. The disciples said, why this waste? This could be used to feed the poor. But Jesus said, leave her alone. Hey, leave crazy people alone that just give their all to God. All of their energy, all of their money, all of their time. Leave them alone, he said. Let them go for it. Jesus said, leave her alone. This is good because you always have the poor with you, but I'm getting ready to take a little trip. And then there was the widow's mite. I like this. I like this story a lot because Jesus was pretty unorthodox. If he came to church here, probably some of you, if you weren't scared to death, some of you probably saying, do you see him do that? Who would have thought he would do that? Yikes, we've never had anybody say that before or do that way. Wow. But they were giving in the offering. And the scripture says Jesus was sitting over beside the offering where he could see what people were giving. Now, we would say that's rude. Here, we would, I wouldn't want you to do that. That's why we put it in envelopes. Not just kidding. We put it in envelopes so that we can keep good tax records. But here, Jesus looking to see how much the people are giving in the offering. Did you know that you don't need to be ashamed of your giving? And I don't tell people what I give, but I could care less if anybody knew anything about my giving. We can be unashamed if we know we're doing it unto the Lord with all of our heart. And so he said to them, I want to tell you something about this woman. These wealthy people, they've been putting in these big denarii. And they got plenty to give, you know. They gave out of their abundance. They gave a lot, he said, but they had a lot. But this woman gave out of her lack. She really didn't have it to give, but she sacrificed and gave it anyway. He said she gave out of her lack even all her living. God honors sacrifice. Now, you need to know this. I don't know how much you want to sacrifice. And God seems to grace some people to sacrifice more than others. But I want to tell you right now, God loves sacrifice. And he honors it. You know, when Elijah, I've ministered on it recently, when Elijah poured all of that water down and he made that sacrifice to God, And then the fire came down from heaven and the people fell down on their faces and said, God, He is the Lord. You know what that was based on? Why did God send fire down from heaven? Why was God seen in all of that? Why did they worship God now? Because of His great sacrifice. It's sacrifice, church. Do not be afraid to sacrifice. We live in a world that has counseled you to get what you can and keep what you got. Salt it down to the place that'll explode it the most. And that everything that you do is to be based on what you can do to help yourself. Hello, that is not the Christian life. We are called for God's purpose in His kingdom and to help others. And the Lord bids us to give generously, abundantly, and joyfully. Every one of us that's gone the path of giving, we've had to cross over that little stingy thing in ourselves. A little tight wad. I said, you know, every now and then I can just get a little bit tight. I don't even understand it myself. So when I bought a Lexus, my Lexus is 10 years old. And I was too tight at that moment to go ahead and get the XM radio on it. Every now and then I just get a little tight streak. I don't understand myself. And I've always regretted it. So don't. Moral of that story is don't be tight. You'll regret it. Pastor did. Here's what you need to know, church, that there's a law called sowing and reaping. You will reap what you sow, and you will reap as you sow, and that's the Word of God. Amen. You see, I want to tell you that, I mean, everybody who knows anything about the Word of God knows that the Lord teaches our first understanding about faithful giving to Him is tithing. In the natural, you have to plant the seed in order to reap the harvest. God's Word says that seed time and harvest is an eternal law and it will never change. I think that we all know that first of all, tithing is the door to financial favor. Just read Malachi 3, beginning at verse 10. It is everything you need to know really about tithing and about seed giving is all right in there. And it says that if you bring, now listen to me carefully because I'm not going to dwell on it, but I want everybody here to know this and understand how to enrich yourself by being an abundant, outrageous giver. Malachi 3:10 says that if we bring all the tithes into the storehouse, and that's all the tithes, that means don't hold back anything, into the storehouse, that means the place where you're getting fed and met into the church, that the Lord will open the windows of heaven. In other words, He'll start blessing you from a different standpoint and a different location. Heaven's goods start being open to you if you faithfully and obediently give. Now, some people say, wouldn't that be legalistic to think that you should always tithe? Well, I've thought about this. You know, I married my husband. We have vows. But I wouldn't think, you know, I should go and have maybe a couple of three affairs. I don't want to get legalistic about this. And see, tithing faithfully is obedience. It's not legalism. I keep my vows with my husband. That's obedience. That's not legalism. That's keeping my promises. It's being faithful, the Word calls it. The enemy has given us some skewed ideas about some things. Don't receive that kind of stuff that comes with people who have such ideas. Just look in the Word of God and see what it says. It says, I will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that you will not be able to contain. I mean, more than you can even contain. He has promised that if we tithe, number one, He will open the windows of heaven, pour out a blessing we can't contain. And number two, He goes on to say, and I will rebuke the devourer for you. In other words, before the devil can get to you, I'm going to stop him. Now that's pretty good insurance. Not only is He going to abundantly bless you back again, but He's going to stand between you and the devil. This is a covering protection promise to tithers, believers who regularly tithe. This is not an Old Testament law to be discarded. Abraham tithed long before the law was given to Moses. And Jesus acknowledged tithing along with fasting and praying in the New Testament. And he said, when you fast, when you pray, and when you tithe. There was an understanding there that it was God's law, God's word to be continued. So I thought that I should take just maybe a minute, and I think that you maybe have heard John share this because he likes to share our tithing testimony, is that when John and I, the Lord convicted us of tithing, as far as I know, as far as I can figure, we weren't saved. Because I got saved a few years later. But at that time still, we felt convicted about tithing. And we started tithing when John was in the army. He made $90 a month, and I made $110 a month. I mean, we were wealthy people. And we tithed faithfully. But you know, John, I just thought about how we reaped what we sowed. I thought about this tremendous blessing. I hear people talk about, I don't even listen. It's so mind-blowing to me about how much it costs to send people to college, you know. It is just totally outrageous. And when John got out of school, out of the service, we'd been in 3 years, and he had saved $1,800, we had. And that totally paid for his college education. Now, he didn't go away to a fancy school. He stayed at home. It was good because he had a wife. See what I'm saying? None of the college mentalities and ideas we have. But by the way, he was told by Tennessee Eastman, we just as soon have a chemist from East Tennessee State as from these well-known places because they have a good department there. So anyway, the fact that the Lord blessed us so that then he could get his education and we didn't have a dime of debt. Isn't that amazing? That's really a wonderful thing. So you can move into a realm where you operate differently. So that was about 1962 or 63 that we started tithing. And from that time to this, I have never lacked for anything. And God has continued to bless me, and I have continually given to others and other works and invested in other things for the kingdom of God because I chose to believe God. And you know that we sold our houses, six families sold our houses and gave the equity to make the down payment on the property to start this work. But the people who did this, I believe that they built another house from scratch. And their houses are paid for. Ours is, I think most people's are. Because God took care of us because we obeyed him. I just give this as a testimony. The scripture speaks of both tithes and offerings. The tithe is like an insurance policy that's both covering and protection. And offerings are seeds that are planted for the future harvest. Now I want to come down here a minute and talk to you about seeds. Because people don't understand about seeds. But you know, Oral Roberts discovered this many years ago. He would say, plant a seed the size of your need. Because the Lord showed him that if you plant a seed, believing that he's going to give back to you, that God will be faithful. So if you have a great need, then you don't want to plant a little bitty seed. You want to give the very best you can. There's tremendous power in doing your very best before God. Don't make it just so easy on yourself. And I think this is the reason that one of the reasons, or I should say one of the benefits of seed giving seed gifts is because the Lord doesn't want us to get our tithes paid and pay that so regularly we just get used to it and we don't even feel it. See what I'm saying? And so as far as we're concerned, I actually make or have whatever's left after my tithe. And I've told you that before, and you know my testimony. And I have done that even since before I got saved. It was a good choice. Sometimes I think I'm kind of laughable. Anyway, 2 Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians 9:6, I say, he which sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. When I was working as a secretary, one day the boss had given, it was a small corporation, the boss had given a small raise to the small corporation. And so he told this one man, now I'm giving you this raise, but I really don't want you to say anything to anybody about it. And the man said, "Don't worry about it, boss, I'm just as ashamed of it as you are." That was the boss who, after I'd been there a little while, I came in and asked him for a raise, and that people were all afraid of him. Nobody had ever asked him for a raise before. And so I came in and asked him if he thought that he could do anything to help me concerning my finances or something like that. And he said, "Well, what'd you have in mind?" And I said, "I had in mind an increase in pay." "Well, you started at the top." And I said, "Well, maybe the top wasn't high enough." And so he said, he just smiled. He said, "You probably have a point." He gave me the raise. It was pretty nice. And so when the lady I worked with found out that I'd gotten a raise, she'd been there, I think, 25 or 30 years. Never asked for a raise. Probably never got one. And so she went right into and asked him for a raise, and she got one. See, good things can start. Once you start, move out and start believing these things. But if you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. We've got to learn. I think we need to ask ourselves on a regular basis, am I generous? You know what? The minute something comes up, I think, oh, goody. When they brought this up about the festival day, I thought, oh, goody. I'm always excited when there's something really worthwhile we can give to. I want to give to that. When this came up about Judy Word, I said, oh, goody. And I just love it when there's opportunities, because sometimes when people give me money or when I get money from places I wasn't expected, I just put it away because a day might come and I wish I had a little bit more than I have that I could give away. If you just have a mind to think about giving away, it'll make your walk differently and it'll make your blessing different. Let me just finish with this. Just want to talk about this seed a minute. The return for the seed we sow is a multiplied harvest. You know, Jesus said that it's possible to reap 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. Some people are going to reap more than others because some people are going to plant more than others. The return for the seed that we sow is a multiplied harvest. Several scriptures says that your seed will be multiplied back to you. So the return for the seed is a multiplied harvest. As in the natural, one kernel of corn planted will produce how many kernels of corn, Mike? 1,000? Anyway, a huge number. I'd hate to quote anything like I know what I'm saying when Mike's sitting here. The multiplication of your return on giving is on seed, not on the tithe. See, the seed is multiplied back to you again. But the tithe, the Lord has just promised these twofold blessings that I mentioned to you there. So remember this, that multiplication is the result of sowing seed. And this is because it's free will offering. And it's very valuable to God. And He gives a greater return on it. Did you get that? You get a lot more return on seed that you sow that is beyond the tithe than you do on the tithe, because it is so very valuable to God. So with this, I'm finished. I could say, of course, there's much more can be said about all of these things. But I feel like for us to take this next step into where we're going and to be reapers in the harvest, that we need to please God. You know, Norval Hayes says, if you please God in your giving, then you can ask Him for anything. And I believe that's so important to know that. Now just a couple of three practical things. The tithe is not a tenth. It is the first tenth of whatever you've earned. In other words, it's the first check you write. You don't consider it might being something left over, but it's the first. And I wanted to also mention to you that your children need to be taught. Your children and your teenagers, they need to be taught to tithe on whatever money comes their way. And then when that happens, then as they get older, it will just be normal to them. We sometimes still will receive money from some, maybe that person's not even in the church anymore, but it's a college student that wants to give his tithe because his parents have trained him that way. And that has become very natural to him. You know, you give the tithe first. God is the God of first things. He wants the first of everything. He wants to be considered first in everything. That's why we come to worship. We give the first day of the week to him. We give the first hour in the morning to prayer. Here on the first of every year, the first week of January, we give that week as a week of prayer to God. And when you do that, it blesses the rest. You give God the first, it blesses the rest. Now, I know that there might be people here that haven't heard much teaching on tithing. And that's why I just wanted to give you all the reasons, but it's so much bigger than tithing is just a part of it. What I'm really talking about today is having a heart of giving. And giving in every way, and tithing is just a part. So you might say, well, I'm not able to tithe, you know. And I know that there are people that where you are in your finances right now would be very hard. And here's what I always suggest. Just start. Just start where you can. Give what you can and keep increasing it. Just set yourself to keep increasing that weekly amount that you give until you get to an amount that would be a tithe. And so God knows where you are, but he also wants you to be taught how you can move into the place of blessing. Listen, God doesn't need your tithe. There's streets of gold where he lives. God knows that you need to do this, to be bound up in that covenant with him. And you watch, if you will do this, if you will do your best, just tithe as much as you can and keep set yourself to increase it, then you will be telling me before too long that you're amazed how God is blessing your finances. Amen. Because you give him something to work with when you give that. And this is one reason that we've been able to do the things that we have done here in this church. And things that it's just outrageous to see what we have accomplished in this period of time. But it's because we've always had a great number of tithers. Most of our church are tithers. And that's what causes us to be able to do the things. But look, now we're looking at the harvest, and we're wanting to get involved in some things overseas and various things that cost some money. So I want to ask every one of you to just prayerfully consider and ask God to help you. Don't just have the thought, I can't. You just, husband and wife, you just pray together and you say, Lord, help us to take this step, and you move into it the best way you can. There could be some pastors who say, well, if you can't afford to tithe, just don't tithe. No, I think we need to start somewhere. It's really God's way. And in the whole thing of giving, I'm excited about this festival that we're getting ready to have. Give yourself. Give your time. Give your square hay bales. Friend, you think I have to give some of that beautiful grass that grows out behind my house? I don't know. I've been thinking, now what's growing around my place that I could give? It's a wonderful thing when you start giving together and doing things together. I thought that the picnic that we had, the summer fun day, I thought it was marvelous. It did us some good. It did our church some good, and it did us some good in our neighborhood and with people that we brought. If we are giving people, we can afford to do the things that we need to do. Amen? Amen. Father, we just thank you and praise you today that you have called us to be not just workers, but givers. You called us to be those that trust you, that we cannot outgive you. Lord, your shovel is bigger than ours. You always bless us. You always meet our needs. And I pray, Lord, that you'll teach us to have wisdom in our finances so that we can release more funds into your kingdom. For, Lord, we know that what we sow into the kingdom will live forever. I thank you, Lord, that we have this opportunity. Thank you for those of the that have been here a number of years, that we've been able to sow into what you wanted to do in this place. And now this work is here, and the enemy can't deny the fact that people have given and worked and they've done the things that have caused this to become a reality. Lord, I really believe you spoke to my heart. You want people to see a work like this, where we'd be sold out to you, where we'd believe in miracles, where we'd want to see people delivered and set free and saved, and where we really want to be obedient to you. And I thank you, Lord, that you've given us revelation. Now today, in Jesus' name, I pray, there'll come a revelation about giving, that you'll just take us up another notch. Lord, you said this is how to become spiritually mature. And we just say today, Lord, make us spiritually mature. We receive your word. We want you to teach us how to give, and we want to be your obedient servants. Would you stand together for just a moment?